This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an entrepologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring.
Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it, that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there.
And frankly, these are the themes we have been exploring over the last, count them, 50 episodes. I am so honored to have you guys here and to have had the opportunity to have this as an outlet over the past year. And so what I thought I would do for this 50th episode is explore some of the ideas and themes that have percolated to the surface as a result of these incredible conversations with both my guests and my patients over the year at the same time. Here are the top five things that I have looked at over the last year that have become important and intrinsic to me. I hope they become important to you as well. 50 episodes! How did we even get here? I seriously am loving the opportunity to chat with all of you and my guests on a weekly basis. Hands down, the Entrepology Podcast is my most favorite outlet that I have. I used to really love to write until I realized I could just talk my way through writing. I could create a platform that enabled me to interview incredible people doing amazing things. So first and foremost, I so appreciate the incredible feedback that we have received from all of you over the last year in the creation of these episodes. But I have to say this whole process has been somewhat selfish because it has just been so darn enjoyable. I have grown so much. I have learned so much. And it really is an honor to be able to share this whole process with all of you. You know, as I was trying to decide what I wanted to do for this 50th episode, and I thought maybe I'll just roll it out. We'll just keep going with our guests. I thought, no, I kind of wanted to hit pause. I wanted to hit pause, frankly, for more personal reasons than anything else, to really reflect on some of the lessons that have surfaced over the last 50 episodes. I think it's easy to go through life and be learning every single day and talking to people and reading new books, but if we don't actually stop to integrate them, to really think about what these things mean, then I'm not sure they're necessarily as valuable as they could be. And so I've spent the last week, much to my team's chagrin, who is desperately waiting for me to hand them this episode, really trying to understand what were the top five lessons that I got out of the last 50 interviews. And not certainly to make this all about me, but really to direct it back to you, to take the really valuable pieces and try to understand which ones are going to be most valuable for people who I'm assuming are somewhat like me. You're on a mission. You're out to try to do things and you value the role of your health in that process. So there really were five things that bubbled up to the surface over the last year and over the last 50 episodes. And I want to share those with you now. The first is, and perhaps the most important one, is that what you do daily matters. I used to talk about this a lot with my patients, and now I talk about it even more. It's amazing that you go away to the spa twice a year or that you get around to having your greens juice every 2 weeks. But what I care about more is what you do every day. I care about what you eat for breakfast, not because I want you to eat breakfast, but because I want to have an understanding of what it is that you put into your mouth every single morning. I care about the kind of coffee you have. I care about how much water you have. I care about the quality of sleep that is taking place in your life, because it is these consistencies that build the cavern. This was a concept that was laid out by my friend Sachin Patel in our very first episode of this podcast. And I know it was him that said this. Maybe he pulled it from somewhere else. Consistency builds the cavern. What you do every single day matters. By all means, go to the spa. For sure, go and hang out in a float tank or whatever it is that you want to do. But be really intentional around the things that you do every single day. These are the things that are either going to build you to a place that is closer to health, or frankly, they're going to take you further away. Pay attention to how you shower. I was talking to people on Friday and we were talking about biohacking, and I said, listen, if you're gonna have a shower every day, what a cool opportunity to alternate between hot and cold. We know that when you end your shower on cold, when you alternate between the two, we see an increase in your immune functionality. Why not leverage that opportunity to spiral up closer to health? Why not add some chlorophyll to your water? Why not add some healthy fats to your coffee? Why not pick organic tea? The things you do every single day matter. Realization number two, health is a means to an end, not an end to a mean. Now, what the heck am I talking about? You know, I think every day we talk about this concept of, I want to work towards a better place of health. I want to get stronger with respect to my health. I am working towards this health goal, which is awesome until you get there. And then you're trying to figure out why the heck you are on this gluten-free, dairy-free, 8 liters of water a day, 6 hours, 8 hours sleep, hanging upside down, whatever it happens to be that you are doing to help improve your health. I want to understand why the heck you're doing it. Because when you hit that goal at the CrossFit box, or you finally get enough sleep, or you turn your diet around, or you lose that weight, you will inevitably be standing there going, well, what do I do now? Conversely, when you view your health just like I view wealth building, when you view your health as the means to enable something bigger, well, then you start to appreciate these decisions as something that is facilitating the journey. There is no destination with respect to health. Well, there is one, and we all have it in common. And if we are playing the game as optimally as possible, hopefully we are pushing off this inevitable death as long and as far away as possible. But what you are doing in terms of building your health is not really about the destination of the health goal itself. It is what you can do with a healthy body. It is what you are able to achieve with a healthy mind. And frankly, it's what you're able to teach the people around you. Health is part of the means towards an end goal, but it should never be the goal in and of itself. It makes it so much more fun when you look at it that way. But it also is a much stronger driver than just trying to fit into your new size 6 pants. When you're going to the gym because it gives you strength or puts you into a state of mind that actually enables you to fuel your mission, now that is powerful stuff. Realization number three, you deserve individualized medicine. Now, this may seem odd coming from a naturopathic doctor who actually specializes in delivering individualized medicine. But for a long time, I didn't actually put a lot of thought into this. I didn't actually view access to individualized medicine as a human right, as something I feel we all deserve to have access to. It is incredible that we have population-based studies that enable us to understand what works best for a society as a whole. But let's not kid ourselves. We are not the sum or the average of all of the people out there. What works for me is not going to work for you, and conversely. So why is it that we accept a standard of mediocrity with respect to our health as the way it should be across the board? When I start to really look at individuals who are sitting in my office, and when I listen to guests who focus on delivering high-end, evidence-based, individualized medicine, what I hear is a whole new frontier. This whole frontier that takes us from the line of fine, the minimal possible standard at which you can exist in the world, and pushes you towards that place of optimism, not optimism, optimization. That is where we really see incredible things happening with respect to people's health. You deserve to hang out there, but that is not going to come by following the same recommendations as we recommend for everyone else in the country. It's going to mean that we look at your unique biology. We look at your lab testing. We listen to your diet. If we're looking at Chinese medicine, we look at your tongue. We feel your pulses. We make recommendations that are aligned to your body. You deserve that. We're moving into an era where we can look at your genetics and start to make educated decisions about the types of foods that are going to work best for you, the types of movements that we should be looking at, and the types of vocations that are going to best satisfy the way that your brain works and the levels and ratios of neurotransmitters that you produce. This is really cool stuff. You deserve to know about it, which is why we're going to be talking about it so much more. Realization number four. Doctors of any persuasion do not get the final say on your health. This is in part a realization that I've had by listening to my guests and listening to my patients. What I've realized in listening to my guests is that they offer incredible opportunities to get to know your body and your health on a whole new level. And yet what I still sometimes see in my patients is this absolute deference to their primary care provider. Now, please understand that I mean no disrespect to my MD colleagues or frankly, any of my ND colleagues or any of my functional medicine practitioner colleagues. However, what I am suggesting is that if you have a physician who is working on your team, if you have a primary care provider who is truly listening to you, then part of what that relationship needs to involve is an open and frank conversation about how to take your health to the next level. I've had a few patients this year who have really wanted to work towards coming off antihypertensive medication or cholesterol medication. And I certainly don't see it as my role to remove those medications from someone's life if I didn't prescribe them. However, there is excellent evidence and there's great opportunity when we are doing individualized medicine to provide people with strategies that bring their blood pressure levels or bring their cholesterols back within a normal realm. And for a number of these patients, we have been able to achieve that. And when we reach out and engage their physicians around the opportunity to come off those medications, they come back to us with a complete staring of a disbelief that there is no way we were able to achieve this with lifestyle. And even if we were, it isn't sustainable. And so medication has to remain an option. I was so defeated for these people because they worked so hard. There really was no evidence to keep them on this medication. But more importantly, there was no forum to feel supported by the person who was supposed to have your back. You ultimately are in control of your health. You are the one making those decisions every single day that enable you to spiral up towards health or spiral down. But in the very least, I want you to feel confident and comfortable to be able to engage with any physician of any persuasion about what you feel is going to be best for your health. We have moved way beyond an era where we need to have absolute deference to our physicians. And I really encourage you to embrace that idea, to open the doors of conversation to the people that you are working with respect to your health, and advocate for the ideas and the hard work that you are engaging in. Finally, a fifth realization that I have come to, well, I actually didn't just come to this, but I feel the need to add it on here. And this is the idea that your actions inspire people every single day. And this sounds so lame, and I've talked about it before, and we all kind of know it, but it's really real. So this past weekend, I was flipping through my daughter's homework, and one would argue that I should flip through her homework more often, but I was flipping through her homework book, and I came across a list of things that she had to do. She's in grade one, back on October 26. And the list and the homework activity for that day was list what you want to be when you grow up. And completely without assistance from my husband and I, my daughter had written that she wanted to be an entrepreneur, she wanted to be a teacher, she wanted to help people. And most excitedly, she wrote, I want to be a powerful woman. And I started to cry. She looked at me Saturday morning. She's like, why are you crying reading my homework? I was like, this is amazing. Because she could have just as easily said, I want to watch all of Netflix start to finish. I want to smoke only one or two cigarettes a day, and I want to get my nails done every Friday afternoon. And while the nails done every Friday afternoon may be okay, and eventually working towards all of Netflix may be something that's on your personal agenda, what I do realize is that without even saying it explicitly, those small people in your life, and I mean small as in smaller, literally smaller than you, but also those individuals who look up to you in life, they take your actions and they internalize them. They use your actions to justify their actions. And they use your actions to test drive and dip their toes in ideas that they may choose to follow up on later in life. That notion takes us right back to the first realization, maybe the most important realization. And that is this idea that what you do daily matters. If you hear nothing else from these five things that bubbled up to the top of the surface over this first 50 episodes, know this: what you do from the time you get up to when you go to bed at night makes a difference in your health, and it makes a difference in the people around you. Choose wisely.
Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz.
Shifting gears, looking at these key performance indicators. Okay, so as I say to all of my guests, key performance indicators, or KPIs, are things that we use in our business to judge and ascertain where we're at. And I believe we have them in our life as well. So I ask these questions to my guests all the time, but I thought it was frankly only fair that I ask myself these questions as well. And you're not going to believe me, but I actually just made the decision in the last, 15 minutes that I was going to do this to myself. So I don't have these prepared. If I get stumped, I'm like actually stumping myself in real time. So let's see how this goes. Do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you spill? Yeah, so let me be totally honest here. I used to have a stellar morning routine, and then I had a child, and then I had a second child, and then I had a third child, and now we're in the middle of renovations and not living at home. And I'm going to be honest, my morning routine is significantly scaled back because there are stages of everyone's life. Now, with that said, there are a few non-negotiables that happen for me. The first one being that I like to work out. Unless I feel like I have actually been deprived of sleep the night before, which does happen with small children, I do get up every day around 6:15 and I go to the gym. And if I'm not lifting weights, which I actually quite enjoy, I throw on usually an audiobook and lift some weights. I also really enjoy spinning. And I used to find it boring. But now what I find I do before I go into spin class is I set an intention for something I really want to think through, for something that just needs some headspace. And I go in there and I really ask for and look for a resolution. I have made monumental decisions on a spin bike because I set my intention before I go in, because no one can find me when I am in a spin class, and I kind of love it. And then I come home and then like sheer chaos takes place until I get the kids to school. One thing I will add about this morning routine that I have shifted in the last few months is I've moved all of my meetings and nothing starts before 9:30 in the morning. And that is absolutely a privilege because I'm an entrepreneur and work for myself. But the reason I did that was because I was finding I was super rushed in the morning and I was taking that out on my kids. And if I am going to have to work long hours and inconsistent hours and not always be present when I am with them, I don't ever want them to feel the stress that I am feeling on a given day. And so I just moved all my meetings so that they didn't have to own any of my busyness or any of my rush. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now? Well, I have to say it's been a while since I've actually read a book, although I did finally go and buy a Kindle because I didn't want blue light shining into my eyes before I went to bed. So I've actually got three things on the go. Well, one I just wrapped up, but I'll include it in there. So on my Kindle, I'm reading a book called Giftology, and this is really about the science of gift giving and how to be an effective gift giver. And it's actually really cool if you are an entrepreneur and you've looked at leveraging corporate gifts or whatever it is they happen to you. So that's called Giftology. That's on my Kindle right now. And then on Audible, which is where most of my books get digested, two things just wrapped. Fire and Fury, which I don't know if any of you know this about me, but I'm a little bit obsessed with politics. And that was an interesting read. So Fire and Fury was totally great, but I really needed to ground myself after finishing that. And so I'm about 3/4 of the way through A Bossy Pants by Tina Fey, which is just a completely different part of my brain. But most of the time I am engaging in nonfiction, not going to lie there. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health? By far the thing I'm most consistent with is exercise. I am a nicer person when I get to exercise on a regular basis. And so that is absolutely the thing I am most consistent with respect to my health. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know? Totally getting out of the health realm, I would say not many people know I'm licensed to drive a fire truck. And I will preface that with, I'm licensed to drive a fire truck, but one, I don't. And two, the reason that I have a fire truck driving license to begin with is because I actually used to spend my summers driving school buses. And if you can drive a school bus, you can drive a fire truck, but it's actually just way more cool to say that you drive a fire truck than school bus. So that's something totally badass. I drive fire trucks. What do you do for fun or play? Well, I've got 3 kids under 6, so I feel like I am playing a lot, but when I make an effort to actually play, I love to ski, like love to downhill ski. So I stick my kids in some lessons. I ski, I meet up with them, but it's really fun. It's something my husband and I can do together. It's something we do together as a family. And I like games, board games of all sorts, video games. It doesn't matter. I really love to play games. It's something that I definitely do for fun or play. And finally, oh, I can't even believe I'm going to have to answer this one. Entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs? Okay, well, I feel like I could actually have a whole podcast all about this. One would argue I do have a podcast all about this. But as it pertains to this section, these KPIs, I will say that I actually think it's a mix of both. And this isn't a political answer. I think there are some people who are born entrepreneurs. I think genetically some people are so driven by dopamine and this idea of getting excited and thrills from trying and starting new things that those people are naturally inclined to become entrepreneurs if they so desire. But I also see those types of people working in law firms and working for consulting organizations and having other jobs, but the commonality I see with them is they are constantly building. They're always trying out new ideas. They are embodying that essence of entrepreneurism, but not necessarily functioning day to day as someone who earns their living as an entrepreneur. I do think those people exist. I think that's a genetic predisposition, but I don't think it's the only way to be an entrepreneur. I think that when you are sufficiently compelled to take action, to solve a problem, when you believe so wholeheartedly in an idea that you want to get it out in front of people, that you have a solution to a problem that motivates you on every cellular level, then entrepreneurism is a platform that you can learn to leverage. Just like people who aren't necessarily natural singers can take singing lessons and then they can get up on a stage and do really incredible things, I think people who are looking for a platform for creativity or an outlet or to present their solution to the world, I think entrepreneurism lends themselves to that. So this is a spectrum. Some people wake up every day and it's easy for them. They gravitate towards it. They have endless solutions and know how to execute. And for other people, this is the platform of choice to get their mission out into the world. Either way, it is my passion in life to support entrepreneurs, to take their health, to take that means to the next level so that they can release their gifts out into the world. It has been sincerely a pleasure to hang out with all of you over the last 50 episodes. We have an incredible lineup of speakers coming at us for the next 50 at least. And I look forward to hanging out with you guys every single week. Thank you so much for your support. If you are loving what you are doing, I would really appreciate it if you could head on over to iTunes, give us a rating, and leave us a comment. These are the types of things that enable us to reach more people. It would be an incredible way for you to be able to give back if it is something that you have been enjoying over the past year. And I can't thank you enough for listening and for hanging out. Now go go do your mission, go do your thing in the world, and we will see you again next week.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.